we recording? Because I... Oh, look at that. Hallo.
Hallo.
Guten Morgen, wie geht's?
Guten Morgen. Ein bisschen müde, aber gut.
Immer noch müde.
Ein bisschen, nicht so doll. Aber wo bist du? Ich sehe dich nicht. Oh, ah, oh, oh.
You want to know what the strangest thing about this is so far?
Ah, you never played with a pig before.
No, never. I'm a less than 1 year long ukulele player. It annoys the shit out of me. Because I'm like, what is this thing I'm holding and my fingers are getting sweaty?
Yeah, that's why you have, as a rock star, that's why you have so many picks on your mic boom, you know?
I don't know. I've never been a rock star before. This is new for me. I haven't had, like, those, endless days just sitting in the cockpit of the boat to play the mandolin to learn anything. Isn't it lovely? You're listening to Postcards from Sea. I'm John Herlig. In 2013, in a boatyard in Reedville, Virginia, in the United States, I came across an old, sun-bleached boat named Ave Del Mar. I learned that long before she became mine, she had sailed around the world. She's been through the Panama and Suez canals, has cruised in the sunny Mediterranean, and has rounded the infamous Cape Horn. Now she's begun a new journey, with me. I tell tales of the glory and the crushing heartbreak of sailing, and I talk to some of the wonderful characters that I meet along the path as Ave Del Mar and I sail the world together. Welcome to Postcards from Sea. I'm John Herlick, and my guest today is my good friend and former boat cockpit jam session partner, Albi Albrecht. Good morning, Albi. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm fine, thanks. This is a really nice title you gave me there.
Yes, you're commonly known as Albi the German Lad.
German Lad.
My friend Chip still calls me Lad, and I'm 53, so I can certainly call you Lad. Anyway, that lets them know that you're not the old guy from Uruguay I was sailing with. You're a young guy. So tell everyone who's listening how we know each other.
There are not very clear pictures in my mind right now because it was Jamaica, and you are not always sober. So
no, not so much. I bet you... I have faith that you could repaint a rather clear picture of how it started. And if you can't, I gladly will for you.
Well, it started off because I was looking for a boat to go to Central America from Jamaica. So I put like an announcement in the harbor, Errol Flynn Marina, right?
Errol Flynn Marina.
Yeah. Was just looking for a boat to go there and where I could help out. So Aldo was in the exact opposite situation. He was looking for someone to help him going to Panama because he hasn't done a journey that far yet. So he called me. We met. And I think the first day I met Aldo, you were already there, right? Because you came together with him.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so I just met you briefly. And then the next day when Aldo and I settled that, I would just move on to his boat and wait for good weather to go to Panama. This is where we met properly, I think.
Yeah, so in Port Antonio, Jamaica, where Aldo and I had arrived after Haiti, and that was where we sort of realized that perhaps we had to go in different directions, and the buddy boating was going to come to an end, at least for that trip that time. And so, yeah, he saw your ad for crew, where you were looking for a crew spot, and he wanted someone to crew with him to go to Panama. And after that, we had this awesome little circle of friends in Port Antonio. I know that when I came back to the States, and everybody asks me those standard questions that you get having completed a journey like mine, what was your favorite place? And I always offer two answers to that, which is that geographically, I was most moved by Haiti and met some amazing people in Haiti, but I had more fun in Port Antonio, Jamaica than I had anywhere at any point along the journey. That is an awesome town, and there was just a great little just impromptu 2 week long pod of people who were just tight as could be. It was an awesome time. Sat on my ass all day long for a month, played ukulele, and enjoyed the local produce. Interpret that as you will.
Well, I think I did the same, but I was there for one more month, so that's why I could do a few things.
Yeah, and I would have. I also had a boat to not leave unattended, so which sort of changes.
Good excuse. Yeah, is... yeah, good excuse.
I am a homebody. What can I say? Okay. We're now going to play a Jamaica-based quiz game. I'm going to mention a name, and you're going to tell me what song comes to mind when I mention a name to you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You can do it.
Okay.
Adriatica.
I Will Survive.
Oh, you got the right answer.
That was amazing. That was like the biggest jam I ever had, I think. How many people were we? We were like 10 or more people.
Okay, so paint a picture for us. What is the Adriatica, and why is it I Will Survive?
The Adriatica is one of the most amazing sailboats I've been on. Not that I've seen, but I have been on. How big is it? It's huge.
72 feet, yeah.
72 feet, oh my God. It was so big that they had a little drum set on the boat, and they had a bass amplifier, bass guitar amplifier, electric guitar. So you could play with a band on that boat, and in the cockpit there would fit like maybe 15 people. And
yes.
So this is how we all sat there in the Aeroflot Marina, and everyone was coming from their boat onto Adriatica. And we were just jamming. We were just going wild because this Italian guy, Sergio, right?
Sergio.
Sergio was just playing the lick on the bass guitar, the riff of I Will Survive. And we were all like, whoa, we know that song. Let's go and play, because it's the cake version. It's not the Gloria Gaynor version. So it was really like the Rocky one. So cool.
Yeah, that I don't think there was ever more energy in the cockpit of that boat than the dozen or so of us. I don't know how many were playing an instrument, maybe six.
We were all singing, and yeah, we were all drumming on the table.
On anything. All right, I'm going to continue this. Anna Banana Bar and Grill.
What? You were wanting to give me song names.
No. I'm giving you place names, and you name the song. You've already forgotten the rules of the game.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Your grade is an F.
Good.
Anna Banana Bar and Grill.
Oh, well, that's easy. That was the first time where we actually could have the fusion between sailor/tourists and local people from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it all started because we were playing Harry Belafonte's song.
Yes, Jamaican Farewell.
Oh, it was so good.
You had your guitar lele, as you called it, and I had my ukulele, and you and I were at the table playing this song somewhat quietly when Fitzrust heard Harry Belafonte, Fitzrust being Fitzgerald, the Rastafarian who owns Anna Banana Bar and Grill in Port Antonio. If you ever find yourself in Port Antonio, go to Anna Banana. It's awesome. And he just got so excited and ran over. He was standing by our table with a smile about as big as Texas, just kind of jamming and dancing by the table while you and I sung this song. And then all of a sudden, the volume increased. And then his pardon me, his nephew or whoever the other guy was bringing all his drums over to the table, and then we just, like an avalanche, fell down the hill, and it built and built and built, and was a wonderful jam night.
It was quite magic, that moment. Yeah, when he came with this amazing smile, I can still recall that because it's quite special since he doesn't have any teeth in the front anymore. So it was really...
But that smile comes from deeper down inside than anything I've seen in a long time. Okay, I'm going to hurry this game up so I can get to a break. Next question, Aldo Rosso.
Well, with Aldo, we were singing a lot of songs, but the one I really remember was the one we recorded because we were in a really good mood that day and we were on his boat and we were just playing and singing Three Little Birds. I mean, that's what I recall. I didn't know what you were thinking about.
Well, I have two separate memories. If you were to ask me Still Free, which is the name of Aldo's boat, I would associate Bob Marley's Don't Worry with Still Free. When I think of Aldo, I immediately always think of the song Something.
Oh,
yeah. George Harrison written Beatles song, because Aldo told me perhaps several thousand times that Frank Sinatra said this is the greatest song ever written. Every time we played that, Aldo would lean in and say, you know, Frank Sinatra said that this is the best song ever. Frank Sinatra, he said this.
Yeah, that was one of his great talents.
So we're going to cut away for a message real quickly. You are listening to Postcards from Sea. We'll be right back.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
Welcome back to Postcards from Sea. I'm John Herlig, joined today by my dear friend, Albi. Albi, where are you right now?
Hello, John. I am in the beautiful city of Jalapa in Mexico. It's in the state of Veracruz.
Is it all Spanish-speaking countries, or is it unique to Mexico that they're like, it starts with a J? No, it starts with an X. No, it starts with a J. No, I can't make up my mind.
Yeah, they can never make up their minds. That's part of their culture.
You're forgiven for saying that because you live there, so we know you're not a hater.
No, I'm not. I love it. It's the beauty of it, you know? It's not like you decide for one thing and then you have to do it all your life. No, it's like, maybe next day I try something else. So it's being open as well. The thing is that the X and the J just sound exactly the same.
So that's not dissimilar to their use in American English, their interchangeable use of the B as in Bravo and V as in Victor. Albi, where were you born? Where are you from originally?
I am from Germany, as you can hear on my accent, I guess.
I realize Germany is a tiny, tiny country, but if you could humor us and be a little more specific.
Yeah, so I was born at the coast of the Baltic Sea. It's a city called Rostock. And it's funny because all my life I was surrounded by sailboats, you know, living in that town. But I've never been sailing. Until like 1 year ago.
And your sailing started from what country or what port to what port and what country you went? From where to where did you sail? Your first real sailing experience.
All right. So I was traveling for like a year and a half in Europe, only hitchhiking. And so I said, I really like to go to South America. but how can I go there? By hitchhiking. So I was in this strange hippie community in the Spanish mountains of Granada, and they were telling me that I should go to Gibraltar and ask for sailboats to go to the Canary Islands, because in autumn there's a season to cross the Atlantic Ocean from the Canary Islands.
Right.
So I got to know a girl from Colombia, and she had the same plans. So we said, well, let's look for a boat in Gibraltar. So we went to Gibraltar. We're asking at the marina. And then there was this German guy who said, oh, well, I was about to go there on my own, but if you two fancy going with me, well, that would be nice, because we could share the night shifts and everything. So, yeah, let's do it. Cool. So we went from Gibraltar to Lanzarote.
And how long was that sail?
It was 4 days and a half.
Okay.
And
how was it?
It was amazing for me, because I cannot recall any time sailing without seeing any land.
Right.
Yeah, just really realizing what happens when you're sailing. This was the first time, because I have sailed a little bit on the Baltic Sea, like one or two times, but I was very young and not aware of what would happen on the boat, that actually the winds are pulling you, you know? It's like, what? Okay, is this just wind? That was...
You mean it really worked?
Yeah, that was so crazy, because also there was no sound of an engine, you know? That was, I think, the main difference.
There's an amazing, amazing point, that first time that you get to experience being propelled efficiently through the water, silently, by wind power alone. It's an amazing time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the most astonishing moment.
I know that you have fought seasickness before. I know it's not something that's with you all the time when you sail, but it has, I think, several times come to visit you while you were sailing, perhaps some from being seasick and some just... I've nearly made myself seasick from nerves. I've never actually gotten sick from the motion of the boat. I have, without exaggeration, nearly stressed myself to the point of vomiting before certain offshore legs. But I've never actually gotten seasick. But I think you've had to fight this before a time or two, right?
Yeah, definitely. Mostly it's getting used to the boat. I've been sailing on this trip to go from Spain to Guatemala. I've been sailing on 6 boats, and nearly every time, just one boat I was on, I got used to immediately, and it was thankfully the boat I was crossing the Atlantic Ocean on, so I didn't get seasick during 18 days, but on small passages, yes, nearly always at the first day.
Was there anything that surprised you in any of your sailing legs, the last one of which was with Aldo from Jamaica to ultimately Guatemala? What was the greatest personal, not sailing specific, but personal challenge that you found from being out in the open ocean? Was there anything that surprised you where you woke up and went, okay, this is awesome, but this thing here, this sucks, or I'm really struggling with this every day, this is hard?
Well, mostly when I was only with one person, also only with the captain on board, because it is such a small place you share. If any situation leads to a conflict, there's no way you could just say, oh no, you know, I'm just going to be here for half a day and you'll be in your room or your house or whatever. No, you have to get through this, and it's okay for me. Being German, I think we are more used to actually see, okay, what's the problem here? Well, how can we solve it? What's up with you? What's up with me? Why are we mad at each other? So whatever. But in some cultures, this is not very polite to do. So you rather sit it out, or I don't know, you know? You wouldn't just openly talk about it and try to solve it.
As I like to say on Ave Del Mar, there's not even a door to slam when you're mad.
No, they're right.
That is one of the things I actually really like about the sailing dynamic, is that it forces you to confront whatever's happening, be it interpersonal with the other people on board, or between you and your boat, between you and Mother Nature, between your boat and the elements. You can't pull your boat to the side of the road and just set the brake and take a nap. Everything has to be dealt with And it is perhaps the greatest exercise in living a sort of Buddhist mindset, because you have no choice but to be 100% present in the present moment, because the present moment is inescapable on a small boat.
Yeah, that's quite it. I mean, that was the most amazing thing on during the passage on the Atlantic. So really, it was so cool, because for 2 years I had this dream of crossing the Atlantic Ocean on a boat. I didn't think that on a sailboat would be possible, really. So when I sailed to the Canary Islands, I was like, oh, well, this is actually doable. I mean, you can definitely do it, you know, crossing an ocean on a sailboat. So when I was on there during these 18 days with three amazing people, on my night shifts, I would just sit outside and think like, what the hell? You are just fulfilling your dream right now, and it doesn't end. It like, it takes so long, like this dream you had, you know, you're just completing it. And for several more days, for several weeks, I will feel this.
Yeah.
And that was something I have never felt before. When this moment of happiness comes to you, it was always like a moment, maybe a day, but not weeks.
It is also because your environment changes so much. You move from place to place on the boat, so the backdrop is changing, but that sort of linear element of the experience never stops. There's never an off moment.
It didn't change on the Atlantic. That was the thing. It was only water all the time. It was always the same.
It's so very true.
The weather changed a little bit, but basically, like, the environment was always the same. And you were thinking, like, wow, this is still so cool.
What favorite moment of day? Is there a recurring favorite moment of day on the boat?
I think waking up is amazing, because you see the sunrise, and it wasn't cold at night, but still you got this nice warmth of the sun, and you kind of you feel rested, you know, you feel like, ah, yeah, I can do this. And then just having breakfast and reading.
God, you're making me miss it. I would agree. And sunset was always an amazing thing, because it was a welcomed end to the heat of the sun bearing down on you during the day. But making it through the night to the sunrise on the other side, whether you're waking up or just, you know, if I was on shift, if it was my watch on the cockpit, for example, when I had the luxury of crew on my trip from Jamaica back to Florida in the United States, and I had crew with me, we would take watches. So that was my watch, and I would find myself out there. And sailing into the sunrise hours of the day is a special thing, because nighttime's not scary, but there are certain things that are more difficult at night. And so there was always that demarcation where you said, what, made it through another night. It's another day. Life is good. Here we are still sailing.
Yeah, and it's so positive, because most of the time there was no clouds in the mornings. So yeah, it was very clear, and just this pure energy of the sun.
Ah, it's a beautiful thing. So we're going to step away for a break. This is Postcards from Sea. We'll be right back.
Bonnie Last Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Lass is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ringnetter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Lass Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielasscharters.com.
Welcome back to Postcards from Sea. I'm John Herlig, speaking with my friend Albie, who is sitting in his apartment in Jalapa, Mexico. Good morning, Albi.
Good morning.
I have a question for you, which would make sense since I'm interviewing you.
Oh, yeah.
Were you paid to impregnate a Mexican lesbian couple?
Well, they wanted to pay me to do it, yeah. But I didn't do it in the end. yeah, that was the plan.
It's an interesting offer.
Yeah, I was also like, what? Wait a minute. You know, a lesbian couple and they want to pay me to have a baby.
Right.
That's what they wanted to do. But I don't know. I didn't feel very comfortable with this decision. So I said, in the end, I didn't do it.
Okay, I was just curious. Okay, so I asked you what your favorite moment at sea is. Do you have a worst moment at sea?
Well, I think it was when I was going from Guadeloupe to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. I went with Christoph. He's a crazy guy. He's 19 years old, and he has been sailing on a 22-foot boat on his own.
Wow.
From Hamburg to the Canary Islands. Then he crossed the ocean on that same boat together with a friend. He came to Guadeloupe and he asked me if I was there and if I want to join him to go to Jamaica. So we were on a small boat. There was not even a loo there. There was nothing. And it took us 2 weeks to go to Jamaica because we got stuck in a calm of 6 days.
Right. That's always fun.
Yeah. Super fun. I think this was like the worst 6 days I had because there was no wind at all. Nothing. Even the current pushed us back a little bit.
That's always fun.
Oh, God, it was so depressing. And then the wind increased and we got finally pushed a little. And then Christoph told me, oh, man, my eye really hurts. I don't know. I think I've got something in it. Can you please check it? It was in the middle of the night. So we didn't have any light, and the waves were going crazy.
Oh, no.
And since it was in his eye, I had to, like, put a match on his eyelid and flip it over.
Oh, in a rocking, rolling boat.
Yes, in the middle of the night. Oh, God, I felt so...
Was there something in his eye?
Fortunately not. It was only a little bit infected, so you could see the, like, yellow
dot
there. And I was like, no, I think there's nothing in there. And he's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Look again. And I'm like, no. I don't want to. So, yeah, that was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, there are those moments when you're out there and half of your brain is telling you, this sucks. This right now, this really sucks. This is not fun. And the other half of your brain is kind of laughing like a 13-year-old boy going, hey, this is so awesome. And the halves of your brain can't figure out which one is correct.
Yeah, that's about right. That's how I felt, actually.
Awesome. So do you consider yourself a sailor now? I mean that question very seriously.
Well, I don't know. On Aldo's boat, I think I got the most opportunities to... decide what to do, you know. So we were a really good team. So I had the experience of being on a boat and like at sea for a long time, like for several days or several weeks. So I had like the patience maybe, and he had the expertise of actually managing the boat, like hoisting the sails and deciding when the wind comes from which side, what to do with the sails and things like that. But I had also learned a little bit of that on the other boats.
Being an awesome member of a team is something that Aldo did really, really well. At no point was that more evident than when Aldo and I were in Ilavache in Haiti, which is right before we met you. And we were supposed to be sailing to Puerto Rico, east along the south coast of Hispaniola, over to Dominican Republic. And I just hated the route. I hated the weather forecast. I hated everything about it. But we had decided one day that the next day we were going to go based on maybe a small weather window. And I was doing something that you're not supposed to do, which is to allow another person to sort of influence your decision making? Aldo really wanted to leave Haiti. He had had enough of Haiti. I would have stayed in Haiti for two more months. But we found the least bad weather opportunity to go east and had decided to go, I somewhat begrudgingly, because I didn't want to go east to Dominican Republic to just sit on the west side of this peninsula to wait for a break in the weather to go around the corner. It's Cabo Viejo, just one of the worst areas to wait for the trade winds to calm down. And in the morning when we were supposed to leave, I listened to the weather forecast and my brain said, no, I'm not going. And I called Aldo on the radio and I very simply said, Aldo, either you need to come to my boat or I will put my dinghy in the water and come to your boat, but we have to talk about this trip. And completely ready to go, sails on, boats prepped for, you know, ocean sailing. And he so easily could have been angry, but he immediately said, no, I will put my dinghy in the water. I'll be to your boat in 10 minutes. He came over, he sat down, I made him a cup of coffee, and I said, Aldo, I'm not going east. I don't like the weather. I don't like the wind. I don't like the route. I don't want to do it. We're not married. You can go without me. You are always, every day of your life, you are still free, if you will, to do whatever you want to do. And Aldo said, no, we are a team. If you don't want to go, we don't go. It's very simple. And at those moments, he was just an awesome, awesome partner to have sailing with you or doing whatever it was. And Aldo and I are still in touch. And still good friends. And this is what sailing does. Okay, I think I have run long yet again because talking a lot seems to be what I do. You're enjoying Mexico now. Expect to stay there for a little while, yes?
Yes, I think I will stay here half a year more. And then...
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll come to your place.
Sure.
And look for boats from Florida to the Bahamas, Bermudas, to finally cross the ocean to Europe.
Ave del Mar is supposed to set sail in November or December of next year. So if you're here then and you need a boat, you have one. Other than that, I don't know. That's excellent. So my next question was going to be, do you expect to sail more? And it sounds like the answer to that is yes.
Yes, I'd love to. Yeah. I do like to end this trip, like go back to Germany without flying.
Ah, so full circle, as we say, back to where it began. All by boat. Well, and hitchhiking.
Yeah, that's kind of the plan, but I don't know. See what happens.
One never knows. Okay, thank you for your time, Albi, my good friend. Enjoy Mexico. I look forward to maybe seeing you in Washington, D.C. for a rum, or maybe on the boat sailing, or maybe we'll just pull into a harbor one day and I'll see you sitting in the cockpit of a boat with your guitar.
Oh, that would be amazing. Thanks so much for having me, John. It was cool.
Thanks for the time. Awesome. And thanks to all of you for listening. Postcards from Sea doesn't exist without people being interested in the stories of these people that I meet as I sail and travel. So thank you for your support. De Imperfection, thank you for my theme song. That's Welcome to Neverland. I love them and I love that song so much. And thanks to Mike McDowell and Boat Radio for keeping this show going and for doing what they do. I'll be back sometime soon with a new episode. And until then, be well and be happy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We
Time to be true to yourself, yeah.